Good morning. The Lord be with you. Well, it's really lovely to be here at St. Nicholas's Elmden, to be back with you. I can't remember exactly the date it was I was here last. For those that don't know me, I'm Nick Parker, Area Dean of Yardley and Solihull. So part of my role is going round different churches week by week, and particularly being there to support churches that are in vacancy, such as yours. And we now actually have 6 of the 24 churches in this deanery are in vacancy, so quite a few that I am supporting. So anyway, often you are in my prayers and ask that, of course, we pray for our different churches throughout the deanery, our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those who face that particular challenge of being without a vicar. So lovely to be here. And I gather that today is second part of a series. So as I preach to you from Ephesians, we're thinking about being in Christ and what it means to belong. I remember years ago someone saying to me that belonging tends to come before believing. That certainly can be true, although not always. And I think what I want to say, or one of the things I want to say, is that actually in both of those things we go on growing. So just as we go on looking to deepen our faith, our understanding, our knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, and so our believing grows, so also actually so does our belonging. We carry on understanding and appreciating what it means to belong. And I hope all of you feel welcome and feel that you belong in this place. Certainly, I felt very welcomed this morning, and that's fantastic. Well, we're going to now lift our hearts in song. It's lovely that we are now at a point across our churches where we can do that with masks on, if you could please. And I'm going to invite Miriam to lead us. Thank you.
Good morning. Let's stand and sing.
Rejoice! rejoice.
Well, we come next now to our news, and I can see also birthdays is there on the list. I wonder whether anybody is willing to own up to a birthday, whether that's one that's just happened or one that's about to happen, or it might even be some weeks ago and this is the first time you've been in church since. Anybody going to own up to any birthdays? I may or may not ask you how old you are. Well, birthdays aren't the only, I can see some pointing going on. That's because birthdays aren't the only things that we celebrate. We've been thinking about belonging. Lots of different ways that we belong, and of course, we're put into families by God, and that's another way that we belong. And we indeed talk about the family of the church. And we've just sung that that family stretches throughout the world, across all cultures, all backgrounds, young and old, all of us are part of that family. And so it's lovely to have those family celebrations and to celebrate. And Jill and Alan have come with, a card from a very important person. So do you want to come and tell us a little bit about that? That would be fantastic. They have a wonderful celebration to share with us. So who is your card from?
From the Queen.
From Her Majesty the Queen. Now, there's a clue. They're not both 100 today. But there's something else that we receive cards from the Queen for. And you're celebrating, if you tell us, your diamond wedding, which is 60 years. Very many congratulations. I always think it's funny when people celebrate birthdays, and that's right and that's good, although I think often, you know, the age we reach is partly genetics. But when it comes to marriage, to be together and to thrive in your marriage and your love together through 60 years, you know, that is a wonderful, wonderful achievement. And it's something I know so many of us here aspire to. So congratulations, that idea of reaching 60 years of happy marriage, that's a wonderful thing. And I was asking before, where did you get married? So was St. Aidan's now All Saints in Small Heath? So I don't know if people know that church, but it is part of our deanery. So to me, that's rather lovely as well, that it's bringing those different ends of our deanery together in your good selves this morning. I quite like to sing, if I find my mask. Could we sing Happy Anniversary to you?
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, the way that we also did it in my church is God bless you and keep you the whole year through. So we'll try that. Happy anniversary to you, happy anniversary to you, God bless you and keep you the whole year through. That's lovely. But do take a seat, thank you. And I can see Sarah hovering, so with any other sort of parish news that we've got today. Thank you.
Hello, Phoebes. Oh, bear with. Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Couple of things. We have more fresh produce, if you want to take that away with you as you leave the church after the service. Also, we have these little badges. This one says, please keep your distance, thank you. It's the little badges. If you don't feel comfortable with people kind of being in your personal space still, it's just another thought. I know I said to you I can get you the sunflower lanyards if you want those. And we have the visors. So we've just got these little badges as well. They're available at the entrance to the church. They're different colours and they say slightly different wording. So if anybody feels that they'd like to pop one of those on for the service, that's absolutely fine. Now, more good news. Last week we had a picnic. Oh, and it was so lovely. The sun shone for an hour and a half before it rained. And I took photos. So, I like tangible things. I don't want to always look at technology. So I printed the photos off. I've popped them on a board. I think I managed to capture everybody in some form or other, including the many teddy bears that came. And so I'm going to pop this. I've also got little photos as well, just in case. I don't want it kind of be a big group of people, obviously. So if you can just, if there's people looking at it, if you could just wait. And I've also got some little photos that you can pass round as well, the same photos that's on the board. So I'll pop it somewhere, probably in the Wilberforce Hall, because there's more room in there. And you can all have a look later. Okay. I think that's it. Thank you.
It's such a joy to be able to do some of those kind of normal things again, isn't it? Like having picnics and so on. Fantastic. Well, we're reached that point in our service where we're going to say goodbye just for a little while to our children, our young people, as they go off and have their particular belonging together, their class. And I don't know if they come out for me to pray for them or whether I pray for them where they are, just where they are. That's lovely. Well, Lord God, we thank you that you call all of us to belong. All of us are your children, whatever our age. And so I just pray now for our young people, our children, as they go off, that through the time that they all share together with their leaders, that sense of belonging, of knowing that they're loved, that they're precious to each other and to you, would grow. Amen. Well, thank you. And I really look forward to hearing what you got up to a bit later on when you come back. Well, as we prepare to hear God's word to us, and then, of course, later in our service to receive Christ through bread and wine, we prepare our hearts, and we do that through coming to God conscious that something we all share is that we all fail. We get things wrong. We fall short. Someone once described the church as Sinners Anonymous. I quite like that. That idea that we're all here, not because we think we're better than anyone else, quite the reverse, because we know that we need God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so let us then show our love for him by confessing our sins in penitence and in faith. We say together, for all the times we have gone our own way, Father, forgive us. You tell us to follow you. For all the times we put ourselves before you and our service to others, Father, forgive us. You tell us to love. For all the times we've been selfish with the things that you've given us, Father, forgive us. You tell us to share, to follow you, to love you, to love others and share with them. Father, forgive us. You tell us to change. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy on us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, we come now to our scripture for today. I think, Richard, is that, that's you. So our next part of Ephesians.
This morning's reading is from the letters of the Ephesians, chapter 1, and we're beginning at verse 15. In the Church Bible, it's on page 1173. Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And so may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Some years ago, my daughter Emma went through a phase of sneaking up behind me and seeing if she could follow, like a shadow, as close as she possibly could, until suddenly I was aware that there was somebody there, and I would probably scream, I would jump, I'd have palpitations, and she would just dissolve into hysterics. Much hilarity. I'm glad it's a phase that's now passed. There are some particular Bible passages that follow me. Today is one of those. I won't be mean and ask Sarah or Carol if they recognize our scripture today from Ephesians, if they remember when they heard it last. But this scripture today is the same passage that was chosen for the admission of church wardens back in July. And in my Bible, it's entitled Paul's Prayer. Paul starts with deep appreciation for those that he's writing to. So this passage could equally be called, I think, Paul's thank you. A thank you to the Christian community in Ephesus for their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love towards the saints. And who were the saints that they loved? Well, it simply means other Christians, past or present, those they rubbed shoulders with day in and day out, they knew well, and those perhaps far away, those they only knew by reputation. Maybe with a different culture, a different language, different customs. One of the lovely things we know from the book of Acts is that the early Christian communities, as well as holding everything in common, supported each other in prayer and also in practical ways, especially when times were hard. We read about a famine, the time of Agabus, and the way that, say, the churches gave to each other, supporting each other. And I think that's a good challenge to us in our super diverse deanery, where there's such contrasting contexts and indeed resources. When I spoke to church wardens and clergy 3 months ago, gratitude was definitely the right place to start. After, as we know, what's been such a challenging year and more, about 18 months. And I'm sure you'll want to echo those thanks to Sarah, to Carol, your church wardens, as well as to Toby for his hard work over many years and the positive legacy of growth and a vibrant Christian community here. Thanks, of course, go wider to Richard and Leslie, to John Sepouris and others who are covering services, to Graham and Elizabeth, Alan, Christine, Miriam. I could try and go on with names, but I'll probably end up upsetting because I'll miss someone out. But there are, of course, so many of you who do your bit to support the church, and especially during this time of vacancy, a time of transition. Such times require faith, patience, and perseverance, not to mention love, peace, hope, and joy. And our passage also reminds us that we need wisdom. Paul goes on to pray that the Father will give wisdom and revelation, in other words, insight, that those for whom he prays might, with the eyes of their hearts enlightened, know what is the hope to which he's called them, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. I find the eyes of their hearts enlightened an unusual and actually quite a fascinating phrase. Our sermon series is titled, as we know, In Christ, What It Means to Belong. I don't know if there was a kind of a subtitle for the sermon last week, but if I had one that this week, it would be In the Spirit, Seeking to See with the Eyes of Christ. In the Spirit, Seeking to See in or through the eyes of Christ. And it prompts the question, where do we look from? And I think that's perhaps particularly an important question or word for this moment in the life of Elmden Church, when you'd expect there to be concerns about direction and resourcing, probably some anxiety about the future too. Those things are just a commonality for churches, especially at a time of vacancy. Where we look from is another way of talking about our perspective, and acknowledging that that's bound to affect what we perceive, what we see. Perhaps we're invested in the status quo. We might have a particular role in the church. And if so, does that affect the way that we look at things? Does it perhaps even affect our sense of identity or self-worth? Do we look from the place of our legal responsibilities? Some of you will have legal responsibilities, church wardens certainly, but others too. Do we look from the place of risk assessments, COVID and otherwise, our burden of care, our understanding and concern for safeguarding, our intimate knowledge of church rules and regulations? Do we look from a place of concern or anxiety about our resources? Are some of us feeling tired? Are we aware of the poverty of our church's bank balance? Those things are never where we'd want them to be. Do we look from a place of frustration or longing for things to be different in some way? Is the place we look from affected by the way we're wired, our personality, our gifting? Do we find change hard or exciting? Are we someone who tends to see the pitfalls and to worry about precedent? Or are we someone who enjoys daydreaming and visioning? And what would it mean if we were to look through the eyes of Christ? And how can the Spirit enable us to do that? Paul prays that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened. And I think it's significant that the heart is the place we equate with feelings, with love, with empathy. Some of us may naturally be more empathetic than others. But it's not something we can leave to a few with that gift. All of us need the gift of compassion. As followers of Jesus, all of us are called to minister to the broken, which begins with trying to stand in their shoes, to look from the heart. And it might require us to consciously put aside all the other places that we tend to look from, the responsibilities we carry, the worries, the anxieties, even the perceptions that have shaped our identity, to listen well. Wisdom always begins with listening. I'm convinced that that should be part of our discipleship, whoever God has made us to be, whatever our vocation or call. Because God's in the business of changing hearts, of softening hearts, the hearts of others and equally our own, by his Spirit and his grace, exchanging hearts of stone for hearts of flesh. St. Paul moves on after this wonderful phrase, with the eyes of our hearts enlightened, to focus on the person of Jesus. And that's essential if we are to see aright, if we're to have any chance of seeing through Christ's eyes from God's divine perspective. Focusing on Jesus reminds us that the church is the body of Christ, that it's God's church, not ours. I've no idea what Elmden Church will look like in 50 or 100 years' time, never mind the Church of England, Birmingham. But I do know it's safe in God's hands. We need to remember that the future belongs to God, not us. Focusing on Jesus reminds us that God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is in the business of renewal, that God's power knows no limits. So we must seek to do everything through the power of his Holy Spirit rather than in our own strength. Focusing on Jesus reminds us that all authority rests in him. Everything finds its right perspective when measured against Christ's lordship of our lives and of his church. And so there's no space for our petty squabbles. And our more serious divisions and difficult conversations need to take place upon holy ground, where there's mutual love and respect. Focusing on Jesus should remind us that Jesus always looked from his heart and right into the hearts of those he came to save, welcoming sinners, restoring broken lives, calling out religiosity and religious legalism, challenging those with status, wealth, or power. When I read the Gospels and look at the life and ministry of Jesus, his insight is remarkable. And indeed, it was often remarked upon by the Gospel writers. Think of the Samaritan woman at the well who says, "I've met this bloke who knows all about me. He's told me all about my life," and how blown away she was by that. Or the way that again and again, Jesus perceives the underlying questions and thoughts behind the challenges, whether they're coming from Pharisees, Sadducees, or the Sanhedrin, enabling him to speak with great authority and not a little wit. We've been taught to ask, what would Jesus do? Do you remember those bracelets, WWJD? But I think before we get to that, we need to ask, WWJS, what would Jesus see? Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we might conform ourselves to God's perfect will." I don't think that process is mysterious. It's simply about looking at and learning from the life of Jesus. And principally, it's about prayer for ourselves and for each other. Paul tells us that he's praying for such a transformation. He knows only prayer and the working of the Holy Spirit can achieve it, can enable us to look from our hearts with enlightened eyes. To my mind, those who are entrusted with leadership in any parish need three essential qualities or qualifications. First, love of God. A desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and for our hearts and our minds to be molded to him. Second, love for people. A deep appreciation that we're all God's children, that each and every child matters to God. A longing for everyone to know Jesus and through him life in all its fullness, for every person to know they belong. And third, a love of place. A longing for God's kingdom and a vision of what our communities could become by God's grace. Together they're about seeing with the eyes of our hearts enlightened. If we truly love God, love people, and love the place that we're called to be, we'll naturally be prayerful people. We'll naturally be generous and committed to the good of our neighbours and our neighbourhoods. In short, we'll become good news for the world and to those around us. Amen. We're going to sing again. I'll find my mask and over to Miriam. Thank you.
Stand if you're happy to join in. Thanks.
So too our prayers. Thank you. I'll lead the prayers. That's absolutely fine. Yes. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we come before you now to pray for your church and for our world and to thank you for your blessings, for your goodness to us. As we pray for our church, we pray that we would take into our hearts that message from Ephesians, that you would give all of us that longing to be able to see through Christ's eyes, that you would take from us our hearts of stone and give to us a heart of flesh, a heart that's sensitive to your Spirit's leading. Be full of Christ's compassion. We pray especially for those parts of the church that are struggling at this time. We pray across our deanery, particularly those churches that are in vacancy or interregnum. Lord, may they know your grace, your sufficiency. Help each of us to depend on you, to look to you, to guide us, to resource us. When we're tired, when we're struggling, may we open our hearts to your renewal. And as we think more widely across our diocese, our nation, indeed across the whole world, we pray for Christians who face huge struggles in their day-to-day lives, those who are persecuted for their faith. And Lord, we look towards that understanding of your church as the family of God, where we do carry each other's burdens, where we weep with those who weep, we rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And so show to us how we can support our brothers and sisters in need. And we thank you for the work of the different mission organizations who have taken on that task. Lord, bring your hope, your encouragement, your power to save. Lord, in your mercy. We bring before God the needs of our own community here in Elmden. We particularly bring before God those whose lives are broken in some way or other. We thank you today particularly for the work of Church Army, for the faithfulness of its missioners in helping to bring your hope, your transforming presence, your love into broken lives. And Lord, you know all the need that's around us, the need that's evident, the need that is often hidden away. We pray that all those who need you would find you. May we have the courage to share the good news that's in us, to share the hope we found, to share Christ, the answer. Lord, in your mercy. Let's bring before God those particular situations, those parts of our world that are on our hearts, perhaps places we have a particular connection with. We thank you that we are all interconnected across this world. Lord God, we pray your grace, your blessing on those parts of our world where things are not in the news, those parts from which the media has perhaps moved on. Places of conflict, places of great need. And Lord, we long for a world where resources are shared justly. A world in which each person and creation itself is properly valued. So as we look towards our walk of witness for racial equality, as we look towards the conference of global leaders around care for our climate, we pray your providence in all those things. And help us again to see from your divine perspective. And help us to set an example, to be willing to make the changes that are necessary. Lord, in your mercy. And we bring before God those known to us who especially need our prayers today, perhaps those on prayer lists, those who are struggling, whether in body, mind, or spirit. Christ, we know that you brought healing, wholeness to the world around you, that is God's longing for our lives, and so we pray for that healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we give thanks along with the people of Ephesus and St. Paul for all the saints, remember saints around the world, past as well as present. We give thanks for those who brought the faith to us, for their faithfulness. Remembering those who've died, whose memories we treasure, and asking that we'd be faithful in our own generation. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Looking that way, as I think this is the moment our children, our young people return. Yay. Hi, guys. Welcome back in. Can we please stand? Christ is our peace. He's reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Whether it's the smile in our eyes or a wave or however we do it, let's express that peace to one another. So we move now to the part of our service where we remember all that Christ did for us on the cross, the sharing of his body and blood through bread and wine in that upper room, his instruction that we carry on remembering all that he did, and through sharing of that bread and wine with one another, that we deepen our belonging to him and to each other. And so the Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's indeed right. It's our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him, you've created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him, you sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And so may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ keep each of us in eternal life. Amen. And for any not sharing in the bread and wine, may God bless you and keep you. Turn his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. Amen. And so, having shared together in that deepest of ways, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Do take a seat. Thank you. Well, we're going to hear back now from, I think, our young people and what they have got up to. So if you could come and share with us, that'd be great.
Right, Lydia, do you want to tell everyone what we did, or shall I? You want me to? Okay. So we were looking at the story of Jacob, and we were looking particularly at Jacob's journey. Jacob travelled to, after he ran away, he travelled, and he travelled to Laban's house, and he stayed there for 14 years looking after Laban's sheep. And we looked at how Jacob's sheep increased, how God blessed Jacob and made his sheep increase, and eventually how Jacob and Laban fell out, but then came to reach an agreement together, but how God was behind the whole story. Okay.
And here's a challenge. I can see that it says to a quick summary for you of what we've been doing. So I'll keep it brief. But we have been thinking about, of course, we must try and think, what would Jesus do? And we might know those bracelets, WWJD. But before we even get to that, we've got to try and think about how Jesus thought and how he saw. And a wonderful verse about looking with the eyes of our hearts enlightened. So looking with compassion, with the love of Christ from the heart, which we can only do through the Spirit and through prayer. Well, before we leave with God's blessing, we are going to sing again. And this is a lovely upbeat song. So I hope you're ready to move as well as sing.
Great, let's move and sing, shall we?
Before the world began, God made a master plan to bring all things together under one head. That head is Jesus Christ, who died and rose to life, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. Once we were dead in sin, now we are raised with him. By grace we're saved through faith in Jesus alone. Part of his body now, united by his power, joined with his people all over the world. We are the church. Have you heard? He washed us clean with his word. He chose us to be on his team. We are more loved than we could dream. We got good news. Shout it out. You've got to hear what it's all about. In love, to build the body up, we serve each other using gifts from the King. We pray for unity, so everyone will see God's plan in action in his people today. We are the One God, one Father, one body, one Spirit. We are one in Christ. One hope, one truth, one cross, one Saviour. One mission, one future. We are one in Christ. You heard He washed us clean. With His word He chose us to be on His team. We are more love than we could dream. We got good news, shouting out. You got to hear what it's all about. No one's too far away to be
I confess I didn't know that one, but what a great song and fantastic message for us this morning. I'm very grateful for all of you that Richard remembered to turn off my microphone, though. Well, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and all those for whom we've prayed now and always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.